This is Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield. I'm Glenn Middlehauser, an ecologist with Maine Natural History Observatory. This week, I conclude my conversation with Linda Welch as we discuss the dramatic decline of common eiders in Maine and what tracking studies are revealing about the movements of breeding seabirds. So the managed colonies on the coast tend to be focused on the tern colonies. You know, there's a lot of gulls and cormorants and black guillemots are probably the primary nesting species, maybe eider or used to be eider.
Used to be eider, yeah. I know, talking about change, I was thinking that when we talked about change, that might be one of the most dramatic ones for me is probably in, 15 years ago, we realized that there were these massive flocks of molting eiders. So they molt their flight feathers and are incapable of flying for a couple of weeks. And around Petite Manan, we would have 6,000 to 8,000 birds. But you would see similar size flocks in the mouth of Frenchman Bay. I would see multiple flocks on the way to islands in Outer Penobscot Bay. A large group of us got together and we started herding those birds into these big traps with kayaks so we could band them. It was the largest banding effort in North America for common eiders. And we were really successful because there was every year a consistent group of eiders. And I tell people now, in the last 10 years, I'm excited if I see a flock of 40 birds. So it's not a slight decrease. It's dramatic.
It is drastic. Yeah, that's the one bird that it just...
They're just gone.
You know, you hear about, you know, the passenger pigeon. It's like there were so many. How could they ever not be this many? And it's kind of the same with the eider. On a single island, small island, there could be 200 eider in winter. And now I go to those islands and it's like 5 eider.
You know, they have done some research. So they're sea duck, but I lump them in with seabirds because they have a lot of characteristics that are similar to seabirds. They're longer lived. Their productivity isn't very good. So their population stability depends on adult survival. And then we had some studies done where they determined that over 95% of the ducklings were being eaten by gulls. So if you have increased mortality on adults and almost no young being produced, and then you add in ocean acidification and the declines in blue mussel, which is their primary prey item, I think there was a lot of factors working against them. And that population crashed very fast.
Yeah, well, it's a long-lived species, so they can...
They can buffer it for a while.
They can buffer it for a while where you don't notice and that those adults start dying off and it's like...
And there's nobody there to replace
them.
There's
no replacements.
Yeah. It is a tremendous decline in that population.
Do you want to end on a upbeat note on anything you're seeing that's on the cool side or a glimmer of hope?
I think some of the most exciting things for me are... For so many years, we wanted to figure out where the birds traveled, either to find food or to winter or how they migrated. And they were too small for the technology. So initially, we started putting tracking devices on great shearwater because they were the only ones that were big enough and I could catch them. And those birds breed in the southern hemisphere but come to the Gulf of Maine in the summer.
Oh, and they're wintering up here.
They winter here in our summer.
In our summer, yes.
Yep. And we kind of use them as a proxy for good feeding habitat in the offshore environment. But then the technology has advanced, and so we now can track. We can put tracking devices on Leach's storm petrels that weigh 45 grams. And those birds are flying hundreds of kilometers on a 3 to 5 day foraging trip during incubation off the continental shelf break to come back and switch with their mate while they're incubating eggs or to feed their chicks. And it's just...
That is wild.
It's incredible that they can do things like that. Or we can track birds that with GPS tracking devices that are wintering in the Antarctic and then come back to these islands. And so... Technology is just really helping us understand where the birds are going and some of the challenges they're facing. And having wanted that for so long, it's really exciting to see that technology coming together.
Yeah, totally.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainnaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.